Welcome to the 27th episode of Rebel Force Alliance, a Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes podcast. I'm your host, as always, A. Daner, and I'm joined tonight by my two wonderful co-hosts. I have Coleman out in Hawaii. How you doing, Coleman?
You know, I'm doing pretty good. How are you, Clinky?
I'm doing good. You know, I'm enjoying my ice-filled drink with all my wonderful sipping noises, as always. You know.
And don't worry, I'm here as always with sirens in the background.
I mean, of all people who should have sirens in the background, it should be our other host, Dave. You're in Philadelphia. Well,
I'm not actually in Philly
anymore. Close enough.
There should be some loud sirens. I live like an hour and 45 minutes from Philly, but still.
Still. So you have had a really good week.
It has been good. It has been better than good.
So your Eagles won the Super Bowl. You went to the parade.
I went to the parade. It was awesome. I never enjoyed standing in one spot for like 8 hours straight more than I did that day. So
sober?
I had to drive home, so I was not hammered. I'll put it that way. I did drink, but I wasn't like as drunk as I would have been if I hadn't. But I didn't have to get in the car and drive 2 hours afterwards. But it was super fun. There were lots of people. I mean, whoever was left with cleaning up Philadelphia is a job I would not want. It was a disaster. And it wasn't that people were being like vandalizing anything. Actually, people were pretty subdued in that manner. But everybody was just drinking. So there was just empty beer cans and food wrappers and everything all over the place. Like, I've never seen that much trash just like left everywhere. And the porta potties.
Yeah.
Let's just say they had 850 porta potties in the area surrounding the parade, and the rough estimates are a little over 2 million people were in the city to watch the parade. So you do the math on that one.
That's when you go behind, you go in an alley behind a dumpster.
That's where you go Oboda. Anywhere you go anywhere else but that. But no, it was awesome. Then winning the Super Bowl was everything I thought it was going to be and more. So it's been a pretty good week. Not too much Galaxy of Heroes for me this week, but
So what you're saying pretty much is that the homeless are now rich from all the beer cans.
Yeah, man. If they want to collect those and go and get their however many cents they're worth, absolutely. They're definitely where. Maybe that's how the city's going to clean it all up. I don't know, but it was awesome. It was a lot of fun. That's for sure. A lot of fun.
Okay. Now, since our last episode, we've had a lot of stuff come out. I mean, everyone knew that the Palpatine or something related to Palpatine was coming out due to the What's Ahead. Nobody kind of quite knew what all that entailed. So, I mean, we have two character reworks. We have a new character. We have all that stuff, and we're like, oh, there's a lot of information. And then they dropped, all the Road Ahead stuff on us 2 days later. So we're like, okay, how are we going to fit this all in? So we're going to go as fast as we can this week, but there's a lot to go over. So we're just going to jump straight in to the two new character reworks. So Palpatine and Vader both got a rework. And
dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum.
Was that supposed to be the Jaws theme? I don't know what you're. That was
it's
very
like the
weird.
Intro. It's the intro to the death of the rebels.
Oh, okay, sure. We'll believe you on that. Okay, so I'm just gonna go through the Palpatine and Vader reworks real quick because we've had a chance to play with them and play against them. So we're not gonna dwell too much on what changed. So we'll start with Palpatine first. His basic, real simple. His shock, these are the changes, not his whole ability. The shock can't gain health buffs or bonus turn meter is what they have changed. His first special, the power of the dark side, his AoE stun is all allies gain offense up for 2 turns. And now it's on a cooldown of 4. That's basically because Let the Hate Flow was changed. So all the allies gain offense up from all Let the Hate Flow was moved to Power of the Dark Side. And then his Let the Hate Flow was completely reworked. So it now is all other units lose 5% health, and Palpatine recovers health equal to 150% the total amount lost. Palpatine gains 50% turn meter for each shocked enemy, and then all allies gain health steal up for one turn, and that's on a 3-turn cooldown. Okay. Now, he did get a Zeta. He did get two Zetas, actually. First one is going to be on his leadership ability called Emperor of the Galactic Empire. And that reads, Empire and Sith allies have plus 35% potency and plus 35% max health. Jedi and Rebel enemies have minus 35% potency and minus 35% evasion. And then when an Empire ally inflicts a debuff during their turn, they gain 20% turn meter. When a Sith ally inflicts a debuff during their turn, they recover 20% health. So when a debuff on an enemy expires, Empire and Sith allies gain 5% turn meter. Okay, that was a lot. And then yep. his unique. This is, Crackling Doom. This is the new one with the Zeta. And it's while Palpatine is active, at the start of each enemy turn, they take damage equal to 20% of the max health for each of the following. So they are shocked, they are a Jedi, they are a Rebel. This damage can't defeat enemies, and Palpatine has plus 50% max protection, and when he inflicts shock, he gains 5% max protection until the end of the encounter. Okay, so that was a lot of additions onto Palpatine. I mean, now, Coleman, I know you've Zeta'd at least the unique. Have you Zeta'd the leader?
I have not Zeta'd the unique. I've Zeta'd the leader.
Okay. What does the leader Zeta do?
It makes the world of difference.
Well, I mean, like, specifically, what is a Zeta? Let me just pull that up.
The Zeta part is when a debuff on an enemy expires, Empire and Sith allies gain 5% turn meter. Okay. Which, if you're running Vader in there, that's going to be about 4 to 5 different debuffs.
Yeah, all expiring.
Yeah. And any cleansers, like, are just going to feed you turn meter.
And you're just going to keep going and going and going and going.
So characters that self-cleanse.
R2 Zeta.
Ahsoka Tano Fulcrum.
I think the mechanics of Fulcrum and even the mechanics of Rey. They get the debuff, but then they technically clear it. So
that makes it expire, which makes it expire.
And then obviously for anybody that would be running, Rex or Zeta Barriss that cleanses, or really it's punishing
cleansers.
R2, like if you're cleansing through crits for the Rebels or really any team that's running R2, it's crazy.
Yeah, because R2 is kind of a liability now with Palpatine.
Which is needed.
If he's on the field, he's always losing 20% turn meter. Or not 20 turn meter, I mean health.
Yeah, just for being a Rebel.
Yep.
So, but you had mentioned that putting Vader with Palpatine is good. Now I'll go over his changes real quick. His changes are not as drastic as Palpatine. So, like, with Vader, his basic, all they added to is the ability block for one turn. Jedi and Rebel targets can't evade or resist instead of just Jedi. Mm-hmm. The one I love, is the Force Crush. So it's the deal physical damage to all enemies and inflict speed down and 3 damage over time effects for 2 turns. This attack can't be countered with a 5-turn cooldown. That's just a middle finger to CLS. In my mind, I think there's no.
This whole thing is a screw you CLS thing.
Yeah, and then he got a unique with a Zeta, so his unique no escape. At the start of each encounter, Darth Vader gains 8 speed until the end of that encounter. For each of the following, Empire ally, Sith ally, Jedi enemy, Rebel enemy. Darth Vader is immune to turn meter reduction and recovers 5% health when a damage over time effect on an enemy expires.
Mm-hmm. So he's gaining 20% health when he applies the dots, and he gains, what is it, 5% health, you said?
Yeah, 5%
health. Yeah, when they expire.
When they expire. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of health back, so that's going to be really nice in Territory Wars.
Yep, and then, I mean, just the speed alone, just by having Palp on your team, he gains 16 speed.
Because for him and Palp.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't slow him down.
Nope.
I mean, you can stun him.
You can or fracture him.
But you can't slow him down.
Yeah,
and right if you, on. And if there's a Sith team that comes back shortly that where you can maybe run a Zeta Savage to help cleanse him, like it could be, you know, he could be real difficult. He's already, from videos I've seen, you know, pretty awesome now. I mean, he was almost useless, right, for a long time.
Oh, and, yeah.
He's not. Is he an A plus character right now? No, not at all. But he was a C D character before, and he's much closer to an A now, maybe a B or something like that.
Well, especially if you're with the enemy team's running General Kenobi, that terrifying swing is going to keep him ability blocked.
Yeah,
yeah, and it hits pretty hard. I mean, I have him gear 12, and I haven't Zeta'd him yet, but or given him any of the gear 12 gear. And his basic, like, under Palp lead, so not even with an offense, like an additional offense lead, like you could run him with Empire, was doing, like, 12K crits. I mean, that's legit damage.
That's a good bit.
Yeah. And that's without, like, crazy mods. Like, I haven't remodded him or anything like that. Like, these are just, like, the, you know, the decent mods I had on him. So, I mean, he does good damage once you get him up to gear 12. And, mm-hmm. you know, obviously, the turn meter reduction, I think, is big based on how many teams rely on that right now. You know, and the not being able to counter is awesome. It would have been nice if they gave the days that everyone kind of was hypothesizing they were going to do, like another mass days. I understand them not wanting to put too many mass days characters in the game. It gets a little bit crazy, especially if you're going to rework Sith. You don't want to have two Sith with mass days. That might be a little OP, but yeah, the rework's impressive.
Yeah. Now, mm-hmm. Coleman, you're actually running. Aren't you running a Palp team in
Arena? Yeah, and I've run a bunch of them so far. Just trying to play around with different teams.
What have you enjoyed the best so far?
This recent one I've really enjoyed. It's Emperor Palpatine, Sith Trooper, Sword Trooper, Darth Vader, and TIE Fighter Pilot.
Not Imperial Probe Droid.
No. Because my TIE Fighter pilot, he's already 277 speed, so that's an increase of 107. So he's already going fairly fast.
Okay. Now, yeah, you said you have a lot of...
Sucks on defense, which has been rough with these teams. Yeah.
And then Sith Trooper, I mean, the fundamentals behind that is that his AoE inflicts offense down, so that's, if it inflicts offense down, are four, two or three people. At 60%, 40-60% health back.
Yeah. And you can never have too many taunters.
And yeah, that's the other thing. His taunt is not a button. It's based on using Sith abilities, which if they're going so many times with that turn meter gain and the extra speed from Vader, well, that's a whole lot of turn meter. That's a whole lot of going for just Vader and Palpatine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, technically, wouldn't he? He could. He would. He needs what? Two special abilities, and he taunts.
One.
Just one. So I mean, he taunts right away then, because Vader's going to go first.
Vader's going to go fairly fast. He's going to be the first one on your team to go. And whether or not you choose to ability block Kenobi or use the AoE crush, Palpatine's not far behind.
Yeah. No, as a Sith, I think. It's going to be interesting because right now you see a lot of people using him with Empire, the Palp leads with Empire, throwing in mm-hmm. Thrawn and maybe Probe Droid, but you know it's certainly there's certainly a lot of options with what you can do, but it, as we hopefully get additional Sith. I mean, it'll be really interesting. I mean, I think you're going to have a lot of possibilities. Obviously, I'm sure we're going to get new leadership abilities from new characters that we get for the Sith faction, but just that 20% heal on a debuff is just, that could be really, it could make certain teams really tough to kill if you get the right characters. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, like my friend
Trooper's got a huge health pool. If he's getting 60% health back on that special, that's legit.
Yeah. What my friend said, and he's kind of running an arena right now, Smack, he's actually running Darth Sidious with it.
Really? The AoE.
Exposed dots, and then he already has a natural turn meter gain from people dying.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not bad.
And he already recovers his... Darth Sidious recovers 20% of his max health, gains 50% turn meter whenever an enemy unit is defeated. In addition, 35% evasion against Jedi attacks, plus 50% potency, and gains max health equal to his potency percentage, which that's going to skyrocket due to Palpatine Leader.
You know, another one that I thought might not be horrible would be Maul.
Maul's just so slow.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, Maul's just hard to run with that running him as lead.
Yeah, without that 25% turn meter gain in the beginning, it's rough.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to get a Sith that gives more speed. I
just want a dark side mass cleanser.
That would be nice.
Because it really, it's just Thrawn.
Yeah, and that's not even a mass cleanse.
It's a good cleanse, but it's like...
It is very good. Yeah, I mean, it's great. But yeah, no, you're right. I mean, we've talked about this before. Like, the R2-S character doesn't exist. But yeah, I mean, maybe that's what we'll get. I mean, we don't need to...
Maybe that'll be the raid reward.
Yeah, potentially.
The dark side cleanser.
What are some of the other... Just because I feel like it's, you know, people are probably wondering, like, what do I do with these Zetas and... Do I use them, or if I spend Zeta currencies, you know, while it's somewhat more readily available now at Territory Wars, it's certainly not like you're getting maybe a full Zeta every 2 weeks if you're lucky. Maybe it's more like probably three. Mm-hmm. So, depending on how much ship currency you're using on it. So, like, what are some of the other teams that you guys have seen like work well, or Coleman that you've run personally outside of the one you just mentioned?
I've seen the one with Darth Nihilus and General Kenobi, but...
Yeah, that's the one I saw that I was going to talk about. I mean, some of the videos that I've seen, it looks pretty legit. I mean, it's handling most things pretty well, maybe struggling a little bit against Jedi Rey, but...
On defense, though, it gives Jedi Rey a run for her money.
It does. It looks like a very good team, and I think that would be the team that I would... I'm working on taking Nihilus to 12, and I think that's the team I'm going to try first.
Yeah.
Because I did take Vader and Palp to gear 12, so they're ready to go. I just have to figure out what Zetas to. I'll have a second Zeta in a couple days, and then I'll have two Zetas to spread between the two of them. So,
I think Nihilus is gonna be the one I play around with next. So I'll keep you updated on that, or probably on our Discord channel if anyone wants to know. But yeah, I think right now I'm happy with this team.
Yeah. The Nihilus one is the one that intrigues me the most. So if you work on that, like, especially with the Zadon, his unique.
Yeah. Because I think regardless, no matter what, down the road, very, very soon, is that Nihilus is going to become relevant again.
Oh, yeah.
Not that he ever really fell out, but still, he's lost popularity, and I think with whatever's coming out with the Sith raid, and in the coming weeks of February, maybe if they keep going with Sith, Darth Nihilus is going to make an appearance again.
Oh, yeah. Darth Nihilus needs to be... If you don't have him at 7 stars by now...
You need him
at 7 stars.
He's good.
Get him to gear 12. Just have him ready to go. Yeah, if you're one of those that's been like sitting on your gear 11 Nihilus, make him a priority.
He is.
He's too good. He's too good and too well-rounded a character. I mean, we've kind of lost sight of that because of... You know, the other teams that have just come to the forefront. But, I mean, it wasn't It's a month ago. The Titan team was still. I mean, a month and 2 months ago, the Titan team was still viable. Really, just Jedi Rey kind of killed it. But
mm-hmm. I mean, they're still. I mean, Titan's still up there. Even
they'll still win. I mean, they'll absolutely still win. And then
they're the number two team. There's more,
yeah, which is crazy to think.
In the meta, Titan is bigger than Night Sisters.
Well,
Emperor yeah, Palpatine but I think probably yeah, that.
But I'm
I don't know
right
if
now.
That's on older shards. I think, yeah, or on earlier shards, probably, right? But, I mean, I guess some of – because those characters, I think, for younger-ish, maybe a year-ish old shards, because, I mean, they accumulate over time. I think older shards, though, I don't – I mean, certainly on my shard, Titans are gone.
Yeah, because Emperor Palpatine now just kills off Titans and Night Sisters.
But I mean, they're still viable, and I think all those characters are going to – this is what I've always wanted. Like, I want – characters to leave and then come back, and like the meta to be diverse. And I think if this Sith rework is really, really good, and maybe I think people still have to mess with this Empire. I think there's still probably, I mean, there's obviously already Empire teams that are working really well, right?
Right.
Coleman ran one forever. There's this, the kind of hybrid Nihilus GK with Empire that works really, really well. I still think there's some viability for like mixing in some troopers into these teams that could work. Like, I just think there's a lot of fun options right now. Just people have to mess with it. It's only been a couple of days. And with the Zeta currency, as rare as it is, everybody hasn't had an opportunity to Zeta these characters and play around yet. So
yeah,
hopefully that happens.
And I think people are holding on to their Zetas because they know more characters are coming.
With the announcement of this Sith raid. Yeah. Everyone's like, everything.
That's true. Yeah, sometimes the best course of action is just to kind of wait. Some of these teams take a few weeks to like really get going, and it's, you're better off to not, like, you're better off to
just let other crazy people Zeta them early and figure out the teams for you.
Well, yep. Like, that's the thing with the Palpatine Invader. When they first came out, all those crazy people who throw the Zetas on them right away were like, okay, yeah, they suck. Like, that was the overwhelming consensus when they first came out. On, like, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, this past week, was don't waste your Zeta putting it on Palp Invader. And then, like, just in the past, like, 24, 48 hours, it's been like, no, here's the team. It will destroy Rey teams. It will destroy Night Sister teams.
Yeah.
Right.
Which right now, I think we should probably tell people, like, the Zeta order.
Yeah, I was gonna say let's do the priority order. But that, I think before we get into that, the important thing, and you guys made such an important point, but I think it needs to be restated. Like, if somebody on Reddit says something isn't good, don't necessarily think that is true, because remember the first 48 hours after Rey launched, people said the same thing, and then within within a week, everyone was like, oh wait, never mind. This team is good. Like, it's just like you have to mess with it. People need to figure out the turn orders of things. They need to figure out the right speed to put on characters, the right mod sets. Like, all that stuff takes a couple days. And then once people figure it out, like, these, you know, give CG a little bit of credit. They've gotten better and better at rework. So, like, typically these things are pretty good when they release them now. So, but anyway, let's do some prioritization here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if feel free to chime in if you disagree, agree. But the first Zeta you should probably do if you're going to go after these two reworks is Zeta Palpatine Leader first. Yes, no?
I agree,
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it to me, but I've heard people Zeta-ing the unique before it. But I think that Terminator is important. So,
it's very important.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. But they're kind of 1A and 1B, right? To do the two of those before Zeta anything. I mean, Vader kind of works without the Zetas.
Exactly. The Crackling Doom, obviously, the unique of Palpatine second.
You have to take Palpatine because, I mean, his unique makes him. I don't know.
Really?
Less tanky? Yeah, less squishy as all hell.
Yeah.
And that was a huge problem of his.
And then obviously the unique of Vader's last.
Well, I think it depends how you're going to use him. I think that's it, right? So if you're going in a for value, his leadership abilities are and uniques, like you can go either way sometimes on him. But I think for him, if you're not going to use him ever as a leader, then you can skip it.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
If you think you're going to use Vader as just a supporting character on the team, then I would say do the unique. But then again, I'm like, I don't know. And I'm curious your guys' thoughts on it. Like, I would not give Vader this Zeta at all right now. Like, if you had two Zetas and you really wanted to double Zeta Palp, I'd be like, okay, that's fine. You want to run Palp, do it. Feel free. Like, why not? You may as well. Like, you only live once and this game's supposed to be fun, so just do it. But I would not use a Zeta on Vader until I know what's coming down the pike with the rest of the reworks or the rest of the new potential Sith characters at the end of the month.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's the right order. I mean, for sure.
Couldn't agree more. Don't throw the Zeta on Vader.
Yeah, until we exactly know what's coming.
Yeah. It might be, I mean, it's a good, obviously his Zader, you know, the original Zader with his, you know, the first leader's Zeta was very good for a very long time, and it still might end up being very good in the short term, depending on new characters we get. And the unique is a good Zeta, like, compared to some others, but it's definitely a hold right now for people.
Yes, absolutely.
So if you have both Zetas, would it be a Zader? Eh?
Yeah, like a stutter?
Yeah. Zader.
Yeah, I think Zader. It would be.
Yeah. If you have both
it could be Zazer.
You could double Zeta him.
Zeta. We're gonna Zeta him now.
Zeta.
Double Zeta him.
Double Zeta. Jackasses. Okay. So the other news is we got actually straight up just a new Sith character who I am infatuated with. And that is the Sith Marauder. Sith Marauder.
We're going Sith Marauder.
Nobody misspeaks as well as you do, man. I love it.
How is it not Marauder?
No, it is Marauder. No,
you said Marauder.
Okay.
You said
Marauder first, though.
Okay. It's supposed to be Marauder.
Right. Totally. And that's what I'm saying. Nobody misspeaks as well as you do.
I know. It's a skill I have that I fuck things up. But I love this character.
Yeah. He's got a fun kit.
Like, so, all right. We'll just go through his kit real quick. Because it's another one of these real basic kits. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the basic, one special, one unique. That's it. So his basic strength through passion is deal physical damage to target enemy and inflict offense down for 2 turns. Real basic. So.
Right.
His first special, or his only special, victory through power, is deal physical damage to target enemy and grant all allies potency up for 2 turns. And if it's against characters, it reads, if this attack scores a critical hit, reduce the target's max health by 15% until end of the encounter. Not resistible. And then if it's against a raid boss, this attack ignores armor.
I've got a question when we're done going over this kit about that.
All right. Well, it's going to be over quickly because he has his unique, the Force Shall Free Me. So, try and follow along. So, he gains 10% offense, 10% health steal, and 10% tenacity for each buff on all characters. And then has 2% crit chance, 2% offense, 2% potency for each debuff on all characters. And when an enemy uses an ability outside of their turn, he gains 20% turn meter.
So every time Ray's going, essentially, he's gaining 40% turn meter.
Yep. Essentially, if against a Ray team, he's going to be gaining turn meter like there's nobody's business.
Oh, yeah.
And this there is no Zetas involved These are
that in a CLS lead, like counters.
Yep.
Yeah, and first order.
So yeah, every assist, every counter. I mean, it's
that's a lot of time meter.
Yeah, yeah.
The Kenobi call in.
Yep.
The Kenobi call in.
That's 100% turn meter right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like we were talking about this earlier, but his special. Let me just bring it up real quick. It's like a second.
Behind leverage, it's the second hardest hitting move in the game.
Yeah, it hits like a truck.
Mm-hmm. Now, only leverage has a higher base damage than victory through power does.
Now here's my question:
mm-hmm.
Is it stackable with Darth Nihilus's health down?
What do you mean? The max health reduction?
Yeah, at the start of each enemy turn, Nihilus inflicts health down on them for 2 turns. Sith Marauder Ghost gets a crit, as even further health down.
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely stacks. Because, yeah, I would imagine it stacks. Absolutely.
Then you have to run with a Zeta unique Nihilus. Almost essentially.
I would say so. Yeah, I think it makes sense to do that. I mean, if you're running a Sith team, you're probably running Nihilus anyway, but yeah.
Because then Sith Assassin's just going to start. If you have Sith Assassin, she's just going to go right underneath that protection and be like, ha, you died.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think all those characters are, I mean, Assassin, Trooper, Marauder, they're going to be, and Nihilus are going to be 4 of the 5 and 8 very good team. The fifth is just not introduced to the game yet. It's
going to be around raid time when we get that last character for the fifth, no matter who it is.
Whether it's one of the characters in the raid, right? Whether it's whether it's well, we're getting Scion and I forget, I'm
Treya.
Like Treya. So whether it's one of them or both of them, or it's, you know, the reward is somebody else.
Revan.
We don't say the R word on here.
We don't say that.
I heard it from a reliable source.
Now we're all good. We're all good now.
His source has typically been right in the past, is what I heard.
Yes. Here's the thing. I see him as a new Dark Side R2. Not as good as R2, but like the kind of character that you can literally plug on any Dark Side team and he will fit well.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has no ties to Sith, he has no ties to Empire, he has no ties to anyone. This is just straight up, he gains stuff based on, like, buffs and debuffs anyone can give out. So he could fit on any team. I mean, hell, you could put him as the fifth on a Rey team, and he'd still benefit from all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I love this character so much, is that he has no restrictions.
Yeah, I think the only real restriction is he's going to have to be placed with Nihilus to be really, really good.
Yeah, I think you're gonna want to use him on the Sith team because he'll get bonuses from Sith leaders, which would be nice. But yeah. He's surprisingly he was one of those characters like when you first read the kit, you were just like, oh, that seems nice, and then you go back and reread it, and you're like, wait a second, this guy's gonna be awesome. Once he's like actually farmable and you can, you know, apply him to the right team.
Yeah, I'm very excited to get this guy in like 5 months.
I think it's next week, isn't it? It's the 16th. It's next week.
Yeah, no. I'll get him at 2.5 to 3 stars next week.
Oh yeah. I'm not gonna pull the 7-star trigger on him yet. I feel like he's going to be important down the road. And if it turns out, and once he hits shipments, I'm going to start like payout farming him from there. But I'm just going to be like, I'm not buying into him yet.
Yeah, and I was looking, Dave Coleman, have you seen how crazy easy his gear requirements are?
I did. Oh, yeah.
Like, it's insane.
I know, it's like how, like, hold those was super easy. Like, what is up with these new characters introducing where the gear, they don't need gear? This, I love this. Can this be how it is forever?
Yeah, like, the hardest thing you need is 200 syringes. All right. That's fine.
Yeah, no. I think I'm going to gear him right to, like, I'm going to take him to gear 11 pretty quickly and just, like, maybe buy him to 4 stars and then just, like, screw around with him for a little bit until like Coleman said, you can pay up farming like a couple shards a day, like 4 shards a day or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, which isn't bad.
No, I mean, it's not bad. It helps. At all. I mean, it's not great, but it's, you know, it's what,
you know, if it turns out to be a panic farm, you're in a good spot when he goes free to play.
Yeah. And I think, you know, with how much damage he does base, like because it's so high, he still might be doing some legit damage at 5 and 6 stars. Yeah. Like,
yeah, I definitely think, though,
but it'll still be good comparable to some other attackers. Yeah. And he's really beefy for an attacker. Like,
yeah, mm-hmm. I don't exactly think he'll be good on a Palpatine-led team, but I think he works better with a Zol team.
He's always going to be critting. It's probably a leadership ability that we don't know of yet that'll work best with him, but yeah, I mean...
Yeah,
it would be. Currently, I mean, he wants Zol to come back because nobody loves evasion. But you know, who knows? Maybe Zol will come back.
So
that is, I have an unused Zol sitting there for about a year now. So it would be nice for him to come back.
Use him in Dark Side Territory battles.
Oh no, Zol's so great in Dark Side Territory battles, and I still put Zol on defense in Territory Wars. So it's like whatever.
I will say this: Palpatine and Vader are Dark Side Territory battle gods now.
Oh, yeah.
100%. And so will this character be.
Yeah.
Murata, like, will be too.
Like, Vader, if you do throw a Zeta on Vader's unique, you'll just destroy.
Vader, tear down that CLS wall.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is the content update of just the new characters. Now, how do we get them? You guys alluded to next week. We have the event, the Shadow of Malachor event coming up on February 16th. It's your typical marquee event. You know, use anybody you want. You'll get him at 2.5 to 3 stars, I think. And yeah, and then you'll have to pay to get them higher than that, but that will start next this upcoming Friday. Actually, should go for about a week. It's, if you don't know what a marquee event is by now, then just leave.
The game, life,
everything,
both, everything, just hard drop life.
Yeah, yeah. Control F5 the hell out of it. And then we had this weekend actually go on. They added Palpatine's event is back, but it had the Mythic events.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you guys do on that? Was it the easiest Mythic events of all time?
It wasn't hard. It wasn't hard. But yeah, I didn't really get any great mods from it. I got like a +30 speed mod with like 7% potency on it. That's not bad. And then I got like a +12 square, which is like very good, but like it's not gonna make or break any of my current like mods. No, I didn't really get any other speed secondaries, but it's fun. I mean, I wish they'd make them a little bit more challenging, and maybe up the ante, like guarantee a gold mod, but it's still good for them to give out, you know, purple and gold mods. Like, there's a good chance that I've seen some people get really, really legitimate, awesome mods from these things. So, like, you know, it's your best shot at getting those +20 speed mods. You know, those things don't grow on trees. You know, you maybe, I only have one +20 speed mods. Like, and I've been farming mods since mods came out. So
I'm not going to say anything.
Shut up, Coleman.
I know, Coleman. So you've got a bunch. I know you'd like to share them, but like, you know, don't. I mean, like, I'm a spender. I farmed mods for months on end without farming characters in Cantina I've spent a lot of energy on farming mods, and I have two plus 20 speed mods. So, like, you know, it's, they're hard to get. So these events are fun because they do at least give you a little bit better of a chance, because they're guaranteeing you purple mods, and then in some cases you'll get gold. And if they have a plus 4 or 5 on it, those are your best options. Those are your best chances of getting those god mods. Otherwise, you know, it's a crapshoot. You got to hope they show up in the stores, because God knows you're very rarely going to find them using energy. Like, that's just, you're basically throwing energy away. So.
Yep. Okay. So yeah, that the event came back. It was crazy easy. It's just like any other mythic event that we had. Yeah, you had three tiers. One where you do it like you normally do. Two where you can use any team. And three where the roles are reversed. I think I autoed all three of them. And steamrolled. So, but that is here. I think that ends Sunday. So while we're recording, it should be over soon.
4 hours from now.
4 hours from now. So, tough shit if you didn't realize it until you listened to this podcast, I guess. So, after that, then we start going into some of the little odds and ends, and I'll just go through these real quick. So, Gear 12 Salvage was now added to shipments, so you can craft Gear 12 pieces. And it's not all Gear 12 Salvage, it's the meh Gear 12 Salvage. So,
not even the med pack.
So, yeah, you can go ahead and buy that in shipments now.
What do you guys think that means, that they would let us do that?
Anything? Well, no, because it's roughly every 6 months. Like, as soon as they release new gear or new things, it's relatively 6 months until we get it. And it's been 6 months since the Gear 12 release, so it's only natural it goes straight to shipments.
Yeah, I don't think it means anything either. I'm just curious. A lot of people have been hypothesizing. They think, you know, more gears. I wouldn't be surprised if they opened up the other three gear pieces at sometime soon. I don't think Gear 13 is coming anytime soon.
No, I don't think Gear 13.
No.
Yeah.
So
it'll be August.
Yeah. Let's see. Shard Shuffle. Colonel Stark has been provided with his own character slot via the guild shipments.
I'm glad they did that right after I finished him.
Yeah, I have him at 7 stars now. 7 stars, yeah, gear 11, you know.
He's good. I took him to gear 12. He's so good. Did you guys see the Palp team with him, though? That's another good team we didn't talk about earlier. Apparently,
tried that.
I mean, it
with
looks
Tarkin
like...
Tarkin and Stark?
Yeah, it looked fun. It looked fun. I could see where there would be holes in that on defense, but it looked super fun on offense.
Yeah, I tried it. I left it in overnight, and I fell to rank 30. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
This is not good.
This is not fun.
So, let's see. Shard payments. Here's a big one a lot of people are very happy about. So, the special missions from Dark Side and Light Side territory battles. So, the Rolo and Imperial probe droids. You now will be getting 2 shards instead of 1 shard each time someone completes it. So that'll be great for Rolo shards, because most people have her probably close or at 7 star by now.
Yeah, but Imperial probe droid, that's great for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's gonna, because that would be lovely to finish him up a little bit quicker, especially since these things don't happen as often as maybe they hoped. I think that's why they did it, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that's why.
They probably realized.
Once a month is kind of a wah-wah type of situation.
Yeah, you have to let people try to finish these characters a little bit quicker, because they're important, and they're fun. Like, just, they've been out for so long now at this point, at least for Rolo, it's like, who cares? That's good charge up currency for a lot of high-end guilds. But
And not to mention, these metas now are changing so fast.
Yeah, I think Imperial Pro Droid is a character that looks like, you know, he's going to have a major role, I think, in the meta. I mean, he's not great on defense, but on offense, I think he makes a lot of things easy mode. So, especially things like, you know, any team with R2.
Yeah. Well, he's in the special mission on day 6 anyway. So,
Could be good to finish him up quicker for people.
Yeah, you're going to need him for that special mission on day 6.
Yeah, that's also true. You're
pretty,
right. Yeah.
Pretty well geared.
Yep.
It's not a fun
No. So then we'll get into the packs. There's three special packs. The Credit Ultra Pack. So you can buy credits now with 1,120 crystals. Don't.
I was gonna say, don't do that. Like, but I appreciate
just straight up, just no.
Don't do that.
No. So
even with like moderate spending for people that have been playing this game so long, like I looked this morning and I suddenly have like 32 million credits, and I'm like, what? Like, I don't even know. Like, some people I know have well over 100. It's just like, you should have credits. If you don't have credits, I don't know what you're spending them on. It's like,
not a fish.
You should have credits. Don't buy this. Don't buy this pack.
Yeah, like, I'm literally spending my credits now on getting the characters that are 7-star, level 1 still, gear 1. I'm just getting them to 85 just to use the credits.
Well, and it has a benefit, though, right? Because your GP goes
up. Your collective power goes up. But, like, that's really all I'm using it on.
Right, and that's fine. That's what you should be using it on. I mean, getting your characters up to a certain level to gear them so you can get some cheap GP, absolutely. People should be doing that. GP is important in this world right now. So, you know, it helps you help your guild better. It makes you more marketable to other guilds if you're looking to switch. So certainly do that. But if you're, like, still on a credit crunch and you're not a new player, you're doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, alright, ignore that pack. And then we have the Strength and Fury pack, which is the Sith Marauder pack, and it's the gambling pack. It's the 1,300 crystals for 5 to 330 shards.
Yeah, which we won't see that until the 16th, so. Yeah,
that's on the 16th, but it comes with every character that gets released. Shouldn't be any big surprise by now.
No.
So, the next one is Coleman's favorite one, even though it's stupid. Is the Ability Materials Mega Pack.
It is not stupid.
For 1,700 crystals, you can get 9 Omegas and 20 Purples, or up to 25 Omegas and 50 Purple Mats for 1,700 crystals.
Still a good deal.
1,700 crystals.
Still a good deal. I don't care what you say. I encourage people to go get the pack.
It's a whale kraken pack. It's what it's for. That's why it's there, and that's fine. It's because no one wants to have to wait to accumulate omegas if they have a zeta, so this gives you the ability just to buy the omegas you need for the zeta that you want to use. And it exists for those that have the means and desire to do so.
Yeah. So, then we get into the bundles, and these are very straightforward. So you get the Strength and Fury bundle. It's, I'm assuming, $9.99 to get 25 shards of the Sith Marauder on February 16th. One-time purchase.
Right.
Hoopla. Then we have the Dark Lord bundle, which is Darth Vader one.
Wait. I can't stand this pack because it took us so long to 7-star Vader.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand it. Like, all the day ones out there, and all the early, and all the, like, I guess the elder players, I should say, we all waited a long time. It was a miracle if you saw, like, a 6-star Vader in year one.
Yeah, you're just like, whoa, that person has a lot of achievements.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm not going to mess with him. He's got Vader.
Yep. So, now that's out there. That's a one-time purchase as well. And then they introduced a bunch of Sith bundles, so you have a Darth Maul pack, Savage Opress pack, Dooku pack, Sidious pack.
Yeah, I really wouldn't personally buy any of these because they're all pretty free to play.
Yeah, but you get 80 shards of them for each pack, so if you don't have one of them, it's not the worst thing in the world, but, you know.
Yeah, they're not bad prices for 80 shards.
Nope. So, after that, we have a bunch of bug fixes for Vader, mainly.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Vader's Culling Blade, calculate debuffs properly for bonus damage.
Which I have noticed that damage increase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed it, like, significantly. It was the first thing I noticed. I'm like, wait a second. Like, you used to throw it, and it'd be so unimpressive, and now you're just like, you're like... guaranteed we'd, with just a couple debuffs, to do like 50k. And you're like, wait a second. Like, what happened? Like, what happened here?
that's what it was supposed to look like? Okay. Where was this, like, 10 years ago?
I know. It's crazy that it was that broken. Like, this should be... Yeah. This is underratedly the most important thing that happened in this update, because he, like... He now can use his Force Crush and just use, and then, like, right off the bat, do like 40k, 50k damage without a lot of debuffs. It's crazy.
It's like I'm afraid to let Vader get that Culling Blade off in arena now. It's like, you're getting stunned immediately, Vader.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The other bugs are, I mean, didn't seem that important compared to the Culling Blade one. The rest were just like, his, you know, Culling Blade will no longer trigger two extra turns when killing the final unit of an encounter. That kind of stuff. So, nothing as game-breaking as not calculating debuffs properly.
Yeah, what was it calculating in, like, what, 2%?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who knows? Maybe it wasn't stacking ones that stacked? I don't know.
Whatever it did, holy crap.
Mm-hmm. It was very noticeable when I started messing around with Vader for the first time yesterday. I was like, wait a second, that
something's not right.
Yeah, I'm like, that normally used to do like 20-ish k. It's 40k now. Like, what? Why is it doing that? It was, you know, when you're throwing a target to, listen, if you threw a target that had a ton of debuff, it was game over. But like now, you don't even need that many, and the damage is so much more significant. It's pretty awesome. And I think it's now, like, this is why the reworks are so good. Like, you have to give them a couple days. People start to realize these things, and next thing you know, you're going to see a lot of these teams crop up, because Vader is very good now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, go ahead.
Nope, go ahead. No, keep going.
All right, so I was just going to go to the what's ahead.
Ooh, fun time.
And it says stay tuned. So
yes, that's the bestest.
I'm going on the limb of saying it means exactly what it says, and stay tuned for a future what's ahead. That is what I'm going with.
Because stay tuned said, well, for the road ahead.
It could be, or stay tuned, like a musical instrument, so the Cantina band will be in the game.
No.
Or it could just mean stay tuned.
They should have just put, like, make mine a double again, just to,
fuck yourself.
Hey, if it was make mine a double, I would say, like, well, pick up double drops, hoard everything.
Yep.
If you don't get 600, I understand.
Womp, womp. So, alright, so that, in a normal week, that would be all we have to talk about. Well, this hasn't been a normal week. So we got the Star Wars Galaxy Heroes The Road Ahead. And it's not stuff that's in the game, it's kind of what they're planning. It's kind of like, hey, here's what to expect in the next month or two. So, first things first. We have a new raid. We have a new Sith raid. So I'll read, you know, they have a new Sith raid, and it's based on Star Wars, The Old Republic time frame. And then we're going to be taking on Sith like Nihilus, Darth Cyan, and Darth Treya in the new Sith raid.
I'm kind of scared to base them, actually.
It's going to be super hard, and it's going to be awesome. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Who's gonna be getting who's gonna be getting the bump in this? So if you remember when Heroic AT came out, what was it? Jawas and Jedi both got like bonuses in the raid. Who would get the bonuses in this raid? Droids?
They don't have to give anyone a bonus. No. Like, the first raid didn't have any
bonuses. The Rancor doesn't have bonuses.
So.
And even then, even now, we don't really use those bonuses.
You did when the raid first started.
Yeah.
Like, and now the better
the Jawa mechanics were super important for a while, in the beginning of that raid, because it made like droids work really well in phase two.
Mm-hmm.
And it obviously created the opportunity for the Kenobi cheese team with Scavenger. But yeah, no, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, it could just be Sith, like, because you're probably gonna be able to use any characters. It's a raid, right? So that's the beauty of it. Like, every character is viable in it. So maybe it's just Sith get bonuses, or maybe it is Jedi again. I don't know. That's the thing. With it being the Old Republic, there really isn't a whole lot that fits within that time frame that currently in the game.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, it's hard to make a tell if there even are going to be bonuses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, everything, like, they didn't give us a whole lot of information. Outside, you're getting a raid, you're going to be playing against Nihilus, Sion, Treya.
What if they're...
Yeah.
That's
what
it.
What if they're, not bonuses, but kind of penalties for bringing in, like, Jedi or...
Yeah.
Whatever else.
I don't know if they'd want to punish you. Like, there's a difference between buffing someone for an encounter and legit punishing people. Like the negative connotation of...
Yeah, but I mean, it would kind of fit with the Sith Triumphant to punish Jedi.
Maybe you need Revan for the bonuses.
No,
because... But you can only get sense. You can only get Revan from a reliable source.
It still wouldn't make sense.
No?
Yeah. But the reliable sources shards are only available one time a month through a limited time event. So it's gonna take 2 years.
Through some form of Photoshop?
Yeah, it's gonna take 2 years to get all the shards for the reliable source. So then you'll get Revan for a while. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, I never really played the Old Republic, so I don't know it all that well.
Yeah, me neither.
You can get it on Steam. It's a great game.
I have a lot of games already.
I think it's only like $1.
Actually, do I have it? I think I might actually have bought it last Steam sale.
Probably did. I'm sure it was thrown into like some humble bundle at some point or something.
Yeah. But, alright, so we're going to be getting a Sith raid coming up in the next month or two.
And it's going to be hard, and it will shake things up like these things always do, and that's great, because I much prefer... I love the raids more than I like territory battles or territory wars. Raids that we currently have are old... But, like, I just always enjoy the raids more. So I'm really excited to be getting another one. I think it's going to be awesome.
I'm just really happy that they, with the introduction of territory battles and territory wars, they didn't lose sight of doing what they are really good at doing, and that's making a raid.
Yeah.
Now, all right, I'm going to ask this then. Is this too much? So, I mean, when you think about it, you're like, all right, so we have 3 raids that we have to run all the time. Now, we're going to have dark side, light side territory battles. We're going to have territory wars back to back to back. We have shard, like arena, like character arena, and then we have ship arenas. That's a lot for a mobile game. Like, that's a lot of time commitment.
Yeah, I mean... I think I said this a few weeks ago, and I stand by it. Like, this isn't a mobile game anymore. It's a game you play on your phone, but it isn't really a mobile game. Like, the game has so much content in it. It's become like a full-fledged game, and it's people look at mobile games and they think of Candy Crush, and they think of like the flick your screen while you run and jump over stuff games. But like, this is a legitimately deep game that like has its shortcomings here and there. We all know what they are, but it requires an investment of time. I think what people have to start to recognize is that that's what this is. Yes or no, whether or not you want to do it, no one's holding the gun to your head. And there are ways to make it go faster. And they also are bringing quality of life improvements, which you're going to talk about in a minute, that hopefully will help alleviate a little bit of the burden of time.
Yeah. Which
and
which
you know,
a couple.
Yeah. So, yeah, is it too much? I don't know. It might be. But, you know, we keep saying that, and then every time they introduce something, I think people are still sticking around. And, you know, some of the events that we thought were going to be, like, very frequent aren't as often. You know, the territory battles aren't coming as often as we thought that they were. And, you know, territory wars are great, but, you know, they don't really require as much time as I think people thought, at least for people that aren't trying to run them for their guild. Like, yes, guild leaders, yes, your life is still fucked. But for everybody else, it's I don't think it's going to be too, too bad.
Yeah, and people, I know people were complaining about Defense Day, but it's Defense Day. You set your teams and you leave it alone.
Yeah, I mean, I know we have it on lockdown. Like, there's a spreadsheet that gets somewhat tweaked and updated as people get better teams and they can let the leaders know that they have a new team they want to put on defense. But, you know, it's pretty much locked and loaded. And, you know, I've set the same four teams on defense the last four territory wars.
Yeah. It's pretty much – and in between, you know, it goes territory battle, two territory wars, pretty much back to back to back. But then we have this 4 or 5 day span, and really between the next between territory wars and the next territory battle, even then the first 3 days are pretty much on auto.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my big thing is, and I've mentioned it before, is the raids. Raids can't stay relevant forever. They just can't. Not all raids can stay relevant forever. Eventually, they have to start taking older raids and making them irrelevant. And I think, if not this time around, when they get a next, like, the fourth raid, the Rancor needs to be gone.
Why gone, though?
Not good. Not gone. But, I mean...
You can just...
Choose your words carefully, Ednar.
You can just auto it.
Sim it.
No, we did. We went through
You can't just auto.
You and I went back and forth on it for 15 minutes, and then Coleman had to text us to stop talking.
Eventually raids. I mean, name me one game out there where a raid from 2.5 years ago is still extremely relevant. Outside of Star Wars: A Galaxy of Heroes.
You know, like, where I was going with that.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Eventually, old content needs to become old content.
I agree, but I...
And if you keep old content relevant, it literally just
means you have to hit auto. Like, you just hit auto, and you walk away.
And even if it comes down to assigning one person specifically each time the raid goes off to hit auto, but everyone else just submits at zero...
If they could do if they could do something where people, like, that when it launches, it auto-registers everyone in the guild, I think that's different, but it doesn't do that either.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I think the problem that it creates is that in a lot of other games, as the game evolves over time, you have moments where new people can come into the game, right? So they release an expansion pack on a game or whatever, right? Or the next version of a game comes out. And you can typically skip a bunch of levels at that point, right? You can buy leveling packs, or the game comes with that when you buy the expansion. And old content becomes relevant because you've now built your character, or you've just chosen to skip it. In this game, that doesn't happen, right? So when you start at zero, and you have to build your whole library of characters. You have to build up, you know, you got to obtain all your mods. You don't start with anything. So the Rancor for new players becomes really is the hardest content they can complete, right? They can't even sniff NHAT for a while. So, and then after that, they can't even think about territory battles for a little while. Like, those are going to be really hard for them, at least trying to get decent star levels. So, like, I think that's the problem, right? And I would be okay with this if this is how they want to do it. You'd have to remove the quote unquote what we remember as being the early part of the game and get rid of it and start people at a certain point when they now come into the game, in order for you to then take something like the Rancor and get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree completely on that.
Forever in disagreement.
Yeah, okay. You and I see you and I do not look at this the same way. But I understand understand what you're saying. I just don't think it's as easy as getting rid of it because of the way the game itself is structured. Like, I think you have to make some major changes to the leveling in the game and how early game is structured in order to get rid of the Rancor completely. For people like us, absolutely. We've been playing this game for what none of us expected to be as long as we're playing this game. But for those that are just started like 3 months ago, the Rancor still is so hard. So like, that's the thing we have to remember. That's all.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's move on to stuff they are changing.
Yes.
To make our lives better. They have announced that they will be doing quality of life improvements. They haven't announced all of them. They've only announced a few. So we'll start with the first one. They say they're fixing the raid tickets display. So back a while back, they put in a temporary fix to track raid tickets.
Which is nice.
Yeah, which is nice. They're just finishing it off. They're just going to completely fix it with this update.
Yep.
So
still, it was back then, it was great communication, just saying, hey, we're working on it. Here's a temporary fix.
Yep. So that should be coming into the game. There will be additional simming to the game. So, let's see. The credit heist and the training droid events will now be simmable. Thank God. Dave, I think you predicted this, that the ship challenges will be simmable. Because they're not, like, multi-simming.
Yeah, I was happy to see that. I mean, it's not crazy for most days to do it, because there's not as many, but it's still a good thing to have.
Yep. And then the big one is Galactic War will become simmable for full rewards if you beat Galactic War a certain number of times.
Yeah.
That's a huge one.
Mm-hmm. Even though now I still wish, since we're on Galactic War, they never changed it to make it so easy.
I mean, I think they shouldn't have made it as easy.
Yeah,
I think they should have. I think they should have toned down a little bit of the difficulty, but not to what it is now.
No, because like I used to love throwing in different teams and testing them out on those on those difficult nodes to let me know like, hey, is this team any good? Is it not good? Now it's like I've got to burn arena crystals just to do that.
Yeah, because without a sandbox mode, it's
rough.
It's rough, and you can't afford to do it in something like Territory Wars because people are trying to win, and you have to be careful with how you use teams. So, yeah.
And I wish we did have a little bit of a sandbox mode, even if it's just like Galactic War.
No, I think I agree. I mean, I think that sandbox mode thing is something the player base has been asking for almost since launch.
Yeah, because it's huge with this game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's see here. They also added pre-battle text search. So on the squad select screen, players will now be able to bring up a filter that searches for any character name or tag. This will help ease the creation of squads without having to go in and out of the character inventory page. Just like it says, it's a quality of life fix, just to make things a little easier for you.
Yeah.
So. Territory War changes. These are fun and significant at the same time. So they made a couple of changes to Territory Wars coming up. So they will now be tracking and show you how your defensive squads fared against your opponents. So they will now be displaying the number of defenses that each squad has had to help inform your future Territory War experiences. I think this is one of the big things people were clamoring for. Like, seeing how well their team did on defense. So, let's see here. And then with tiebreakers, they introduced a tiebreaker. They said, while less than 2% of battles are currently ending in ties, we know that it basically affects only high galactic power guilds. So what they're doing is leveraging the successful defensive system. They're now introducing extra banners for defeating the defensive squad the first time. This means that when two squads have a tie, the one that beat the other with the fewest losses wins.
Mm-hmm.
So it encourages you to have better defenses.
Yeah, I think I'm going to really like this, especially if we can physically see what our defensive teams did each territory war.
Yep.
Yep. And it gets rid of the cheese gear 8, 7, 9 defenses that some people put on to just kind of draw ties. Like, that's gone, because you will never tie again doing that.
Nope. Mm-hmm. So, let's see here. And another thing they added is, I don't think anybody could have seen this coming, is as top guilds have so many squads, the average of 4 defensive squads per player isn't allowing them to fully demonstrate the strength of their rosters. So they're increasing the number of defensive squads required per person at the top tier of play. So basically, they're requiring more defensive slots for top-end guilds. And I don't think we've heard yet what that cutoff is at.
Well, I don't know where top-end, top-tier, what their idea of top-tier is.
I would what everyone has been speculating and what I'm hearing is 120 galactic power and above.
That'd be interesting. It won't affect me much because I think I already set 6 teams on defense. Yeah.
Like some say, 140 and above, and I think 140 is a bit high. So I'd say 120.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not gonna make a speculation on this one. I'm just going to see what it is.
Yeah. Now, Dave, you, like, all right, so Coleman, you're going to be part of this top guilds. Like, your guild will be, regardless. Dave, is the guild, you're in Yavin, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys will probably be in this as well.
I would think so. I mean, we're definitely well above 120 GP. So, if that's where the cutoff is, we're certainly going to be we're well above that. So, yeah, I mean, I only put 3-4 teams right now, but I could put more if I had to. Sure.
Okay. So that's all the quality of life improvements I had. Do you guys have any other, like they said, there's going to be more.
Yeah.
Coming. Do you guys have any ideas of what it could be?
I have no idea.
No, I can't think of any. I mean, if people really end up being worried about the amount of time it takes to do stuff, you could have a sim all challenges, right? Mm-hmm, so knowing that they're adding so much content to keep you quote unquote in the game, right? That's why they did it originally the way that they did. So you had to keep continuing to come back into the game. Like knowing that they're adding more content that will do that anyway, there is an opportunity to maybe just look at you simming all the challenges for the day at once. But you know, other than that, you could look at other stuff as far as like simming battles for gear and stuff like that, but most people don't like to do the mass sims because they feel like they don't get the same amount as if they sim them by like 3 or 4s. So I don't know if that would save anybody any time, but if people are worried about and then obviously maybe there's something they do with some of the older raids, but I just really don't feel like they're going to.
My bold prediction, which will never turns out, is that we're going to level 90.
That's not really an improvement on anything, right?
No, yeah, I don't think that's a quality of life thing, but I think that's something that's going to come with this update.
I think it's going to come with the raid, not the update.
But the raid is coming with the update.
Is it?
Yeah, they said in the thing, the raid will come out with our upcoming quality of life update.
Oh, okay.
So the quality of life and the raid will come in out at the same time. I think we're going to see a jump to level 90. Because we're due for it. We just are.
Yeah, we kind of are.
Yeah, I mean, I could see level 90. I don't think it's going to mean another level of gear, though. I think it just may mean they open up the other 3 slots.
I don't even think they'll do that. I think they're just going to raise it up to 90. Because level 12 gear is fairly new.
Right, but I could see them opening up their other three pieces, but that it doesn't jump you to 13 for a while, if 13 ever comes.
Yeah. So
you could stop here. Like, they don't need to give people more gear. They could just start to introduce other ways to change and progress your characters that could force spending. And I think that would be with more diverse, specialized mod sets would be my guess. So things that add stuff like, and this is a hypothesis that I know I've had with other people I talk to within the game, things like mod sets for health steal, counter chance, things like that.
Yeah.
Diversify the way you mod characters. So, like, let people build their characters to 12 and just pause it there. And then now the focus becomes team composition, mod sets, new characters, stuff like that to force spending. We'll see.
Okay. All right. So the last thing we have on our what's ahead is the character release cadence. The ever controversial character release cadence seems to be gone. So they recently made the following characters shards available in shipments, and they're talking Wicket, Tulls, and Zombie Spirit. Going forward, you'll also see them in a more traditional farmable location. They will also continue to appear as rewards in their respective recurring events. So basically what they're saying in this is they're going back to the normal cadence of here's a marquee, after so long they're going to shipments. After shipments they're going to go into farmable locations. Not the here's the marquee, you're going to have once a month to get 6 shards and you get them in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they realized it was wrong and they changed it, basically. Which I think everyone kind of expected them to.
Yeah, there's no way they could have kept that system and kept this game going.
Wow.
Yes.
Yep. That actually does it for all our updates.
Yeah. All right.
Not that bad tonight. I'd say we're going to probably hold off. We have like one or two show questions. We'll probably hold off to do those till next week's show. Because that will be coming later on in this week. We had to record later this week because Coleman was getting arrested for an hour straight because SWAT team was outside his house. I don't literally know doing what. I don't know. Was there like a terrorist attack in your lobby?
I don't know what was going on, but it was like we tried to record and it was just like, okay, this is getting ridiculous.
Yeah, like, okay, I can't even talk to Coleman. So we have to record a little later, so we're going to be putting out like 2 episodes within a week of each other. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and do the show questions on the next episode. But I guess, Coleman, you got any shout-outs you want to throw out there?
Not really. We're good. Welcome to all the new guild members of Dark Lords of Old, so...
Okay, then. Dave, you got anything?
I just want to give a shout-out to Nick Foles. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Fly, Eagle, fly.
CIA,
I appreciate you playing so well. Way to go.
Right?
Thanks a lot. There you go.
Are you going to trade him in the offseason?
So, do you know that we live in a world where Nick Foles has as many Super Bowl championships as Aaron Rodgers does?
We do live in that world. Okay. But we also live in a world where Nick Foles has more Super Bowl championships than Dan Marino.
I know. It's a weird world to live in, but it's a weird world to live in, but I am happy we live in it.
Yes. But we also live in a world where everyone has fewer Super Bowls than Tom Brady.
Yes.
Yes. That is that. Well, that. Well, no. Charles Haley also has 5.
Oh, okay.
So
does
there
not,
you go.
Does not mean the same.
I remember the graphic from the Super Bowl. Charles Haley also has 5.
Tom Brady.
So Tom Brady still is tied.
Tom Brady gets the leg up. He's sleeping.
I think
with
so.
Giselle.
Yeah. I don't think Charles Haley married a supermodel, but I'm not sure. His wife may have been attractive too. I really don't know.
Not Giselle level.
Probably not, because very few are Giselle level.
Do I hear a new Patriots fan starting to come about?
Oh, no, no, I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm a good football fan. Like, I love just watching good football.
Yeah.
And the Patriots, as much as people hate them, they're real good at the sport of football.
No.
Yes, they are.
And their Super Bowls are exciting and fun. There hasn't been a bad Patriots Super Bowl yet, so.
Nope.
You know. Who knows? I'm sure they'll be back there next year, because it's not like anyone in the AFC is about to step up, so.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Maybe the Jaguars.
Maybe if they can figure out. I mean, hell, they almost did it with Bortles. If they can figure out quarterback, yeah, absolutely.
I think that just came down to experience.
Maybe, totally. I just don't think Bortles makes the plays that you need, to win. Like, you just look at the difference between why the Jaguars didn't win and why the Eagles did. I mean, the Eagles just kept making plays.
Yeah.
And you have to do that. And I don't think it had anything to do with, like, it's not like the Eagles had any more playoff experience than the Jaguars did. So, yeah. Like, at the end of the day, it just comes down to, like, you need guys that are going to make the plays and make the throws. And Nick Foles can make throws that Blake Bortles can't. So, I think they need a better quarterback than Bortles. Because I think that this is what Bortles is. Like, could he get into the Super Bowl? Maybe. But if they had somebody better, you know, that team's very good. And obviously the defense is stacked and they got most of those guys locked up long term. So, I mean, yeah, the Jaguars aren't going anywhere. They can get a good quarterback. It could be scary. They might be the best team in the AFC if they have a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't grow on trees, but there are people available. I mean, Kirk Cousins is better than Blake Bortles, and all you need to do is give him money.
Yep. That's what the Redskins keep doing.
Yeah, all you got to do is give them the highest paid quarterback.
Yeah, we'll save this for our football podcast that we don't
yeah.
do.
Yes. Yeah. So I guess that will do it for our 27th episode. Please come join us in Discord. I'll put the stuff in the show notes. And until next time, everyone have yourself a wonderful night.